Good evening and welcome to Weekly Skews. I'm Mark. That's Corey and Drew. Corey Forrester and Drew Morgan. Trey is out of pocket on the world's worst spring break ski vacation, I gather from a text thread. Do you guys know what he's up to? He's skiing, but there's no snow. Is that up?
I have been in a white people sanctuary for 4 days straight, and I don't know anything about the outside world, so I have forgotten. But yeah, that sounds like something Trey would do. Yeah.
So you've been in your house in Chickamauga, Georgia. He was like going to get a ski lesson because he was going to be in Denver anyway, and then they emailed him and were like, "Oh, by the way, might not be able to have a lesson. For some reason, we're not sure quite exactly what. There's no snow in March anymore." Man, I just did this with my father-in-law. He was like, "Man, it was 70 yesterday, and now it's snowing, and you guys can, I don't know if I can get my camera all the way out the window. I can't, but it is downpoured sleet and snow here after being 70 yesterday." And he's like,
Same.
"Tennessee weather." I'm like, "No, I don't think so."
Yeah, we're just going to keep pretending. It's fine. We're about, like, it's like 90 degrees here in LA in March, and, like, it's supposed to be, it's like record heat. It's, like, not, like, the thing about, like, weather always changes, but we weren't always setting records because that's what a fucking record is.
Right.
So, before we get to the show, so, Corey, you said something earlier today about how, give us, I don't know why you're thinking about, we'll go with Jar Jar Binks in the brain, but tell us why you were thinking about Jar Jar Binks.
Well, I was thinking about Jar Jar Binks because I was on my ride home today, very long ride home, finishing my latest audiobook, which is the, get ready for it, the novelization of Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith. The without question, worst thing I could have possibly said right there.
How do you read books that make you more illiterate?
I know.
Is that required reading at the White Sanctuary?
Yeah, if you're on your way back from it, yeah, to debrief. And whilst listening
Corey
to it.
Corey was at a golf tournament, right? That's where you were this weekend?
Yeah, I was at the Players' Championship this weekend and thought I was going to get shot and then didn't, which that don't hit. But anyways, so I was listening to it and I was sitting there thinking about like, and he's really barely in the book, but they do make a nod to, they were like, yeah, Senator Jar Jar gave a, you know, he furled his brow and I was like, oh, right. Jar Jar was a senator. I was like, and I remember thinking that was like, at the time, I was like, why would they ever let this idiot be a senator? And now that I'm an adult, I'm like, literally the most accurate thing George Lucas ever did was make a bumbling moron with no qualifications a senator with power.
Wait, Jar Jar was good, though. Yeah,
Jar Jar was good, though. So in my opinion, he probably, you know, only lasted one term or so. He had a pretty good heart. I could definitely see him being, "Oh, mister, so sick of the deep state. Much and doo-doo they make for my..." thank you for setting me up, Mark. That was a pre-planned bit. I have too much pride to let everybody think that was off the top. I suck.
Well, the reason I thought it was, the reason I thought it was Kismet that you brought it up is I wanted to let you know that guy, there's a guy named Roland Tismet who's running for mayor of Paris's 19th arrondissement, whatever, how French do their city council districts. He is the voice, in the French dub of the prequels, he did the voice of French Jar Jar Binks.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
And his name's Kismet?
Tismet.
That's Tismet.
But it is Kismet. Okay. He brought it up. It's Tismet, yeah. So, but he's running, the party he's running, the running with is La France Insoumise. My French is fucking terrible, Insoumise, but they're like an eco-leftist party, right? So the request I have for you, Corey, is to do your best impression of Jar Jar Binks saying in French Jar Jar Binks saying, "We're going to kill the oligarchy to establish a socialist climate caliphate ruled by Greta Thunberg."
Ooh. Ooh, Mr. French Jar Jar Binks, but Mr. no liking the rape, especially of the environment. We are going to crush the oligarchy and establish a place where Greta Thunberg can rule forever, my son.
All right.
And then we will get back to the raping.
right. So I had a Star Wars story for Corey, Drew, but for you, I wanted to talk about. I actually already talked to you. We texted about this a little bit. But the Big 12 trying out the LED glitz. It's basketball tournament season, which is the closest thing Drew has to a religious holiday. So I like the Big 12 took up their wood basketball floor for their tournament and instead tried playing on an LED glass floor.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
But then had to take that up and quit because kids keep getting hurt because they're playing basketball with fucking glass. One kid slipped into a split and injured his groin. Another kid couldn't play because the LED glass floor gave him a fucking migraine.
Dude. Cocaine came back and it took 4 months for, dude, what if we play basketball on a TV?
Yeah.
No, we already play on TV. No. We literally play the game. We play the fucking game, dude. We play it on the TV. Not on TV, on a TV. This is just part of the inshittification of everything that the internet's been talking about. And it's also part of something, a few people have talked about this, where, like, the death of expertise. And I'm sure we can segue this easily into the Trump administration, but there's this weird thing of, like, just by being the thing, getting the title, whatever, you're now the thing, and people have to listen to you, and you don't need a plan, you don't need any qualifications, and someone's son or nephew, was definitely a man, got a job at the Big 12, and instead of just collecting checks and raising his hand every once in a while and being like, hey, why don't we also have a night where we invite the community out, like maybe the Boys and Girls Club, he was like, no, I gotta have an idea. You remember, like, when we were in college and you would, like, hear about Russia? Like, somebody would show you a video, be like, look at what's going on in Russia. And it'd be like dudes jumping cars off of, like, an abandoned building or whatever.
I'm having a blast.
We're that now. Yeah. But we're not even having fun.
But yeah. So
for a day, by the way, that when we hear of some brain dead scheme to add, you know, advertisements to a basketball floor and make people play on a TV, that our brains will allow us to think perhaps it's someone's daughter that did it, not a boy. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, sure.
Hire more women guards. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. We keep talking about the Strait of Hormuz. What about the Gay of Hormuz?
Yeah. So your uncle guess, your nephew guess is pretty good, Drew, but the commissioner of the Big 12 is currently, he came over, he was formerly chief operating officer of Jay-Z's Rock Nation. So yeah, his qualification was, he used to be whatever the chief operating officer of a record label, of a vanity record label that doesn't produce anything, whatever. So they advertise this thing.
Low.
Yeah.
Ah, man, I'm not going to make the joke I was about to make.
Oh, no, my Lord.
Yeah.
So I'm lost. So the tournament court, let me read this. They was described as, quote, the first all-glass floor ever used for legitimate basketball competition in the history of the United States. I wonder why no one fucking...
Wow.
Like, I played basketball on all kinds of surfaces, all right? I played a wood, asphalt, wooden barn floors, gravel, dirt. Never. You need two things to play basketball, to dribble a basketball on a surface. You need preferably flat. But what's mandatory is feet can get traction.
Yeah. Yeah, why don't we ice skate? I played donkey basketball in high school where I rode a donkey while playing basketball, and it was safer. We had less injuries than the Big 12 tournament.
Of course. Donkeys are great in the paint, too.
Yeah,
they go hard in the paint. They got that big ass. You think you can't box out if you're a donkey?
I'm telling you.
Yeah, and if a donkey tears its ACL, you just shoot it. So,
that's right. So Trey is back, baby.
Dude, it's just so funny how, and you were touching on this, hey, man, we got a new idea. And no one's going, there's a reason. There's a reason it's new, and it hasn't been done before. Have we thought about that?
I once went playing basketball in a barn because they like the when the it empties out of hay because you're feeding the hay, like you got nothing to do with the empty barns. We were basketball goals in the barn, right? We would play 8-foot goal, Drinkard's Farm, great time, dunking on 8-foot goal. Ball bounced over the fence into the pasture. I hopped over it, ran to get the ball, running back, dodging cow patties, ran smack head first into a lean to, knocked myself fucking out, all right? Fell backwards into cow shit. And for the rest, when I came to, no one would guard me because I was covered in cow shits. I was dunking like a motherfucker. And I still had a better time than the kids did in the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah. By the way, basketball goal in a barn sounds like a trap the KKK would set in a Looney Tunes cartoon from the 40s.
Yeah. And then, I do want to say, that I thought about donkey basketball recently because I was listening to a NBA podcast where somebody mentioned they played donkey basketball in high school and other people had never heard of it. It's like apparently I thought it was like a very common thing, especially in rural communities, but even not, it's specifically like in like 10 towns me and Drew from two.
I tried to do a bit about it, and even Well Read, this is when Well Read was touring regularly, and even Well Read fans, it was killing for like 30% of the audience. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. everyone else was like, and I never figured it out. My new thing, though, that's like that, it's even more fun. My new closer is about, have you seen the gay Filipinos playing basketball? It's way better than the donkeys, Mark.
Oh, hello.
You don't know about this? So it goes viral every once in a while. Look, I got a sick algorithm. I don't know what to tell you guys. I already told you what it is, because it's gay Filipinos, and they're playing basketball. And it's in a league. They got matching
uniforms.
Can you
be just one, or do you have to be both?
You got to be both, but I also raises the stakes, and this is part of my bit. I won't do the whole bit, but like, I don't think they're all gay, and that does make it way more compelling, because it's one thing to get crossed up by a dude with a high and tight and flip-flops, but like, make him gay, and then you're going to go home and like, look your dad in the eyes, your dad who fought the Americans in the jungle. The stakes are too high. But genuinely, the bit is about how it's genuinely incredible. So, like, Mark, they'll, like, shoot a three and then start voguing and hit the splits.
Nice.
That's incredible.
I'll watch that. I'll go find that when we get done with this. But, yeah, like, we just wanted to talk about is, like, it feels like everything is like this now. We're like, you got to, like, get an LE basketball floor that doesn't work. It feels like across every industry, politics, all of it, the world's best salesman, con artist, has a boatload of microchips to unload. And everybody in power is a fucking sucker. And so a bunch of kids have to sprain their groins and get fucking migraines. Anyway, they paid $185,000 to this Swiss company for this floor. And you don't know, you know what doesn't need fucking tech support? Wood.
Wood.
Can I just say on top of wood being obvious choice there, if I was going to do it, if I was put in a position and you were like, look, we got to make this glass basketball floor. I know it sucks. It's stupid, but Jay-Z's nephew said it, and we think Beyonce's head of the Illuminati. We're doing this. And then somebody was like, all right, we got a bid for $185,000. I'd be like, absolutely not. We need it. It has to cost more than that. There's no way we can make this work for $185,000. Do you know how much a Cadillac costs now? A fucking Cadillac is half that. You can't double the price of a fucking Navigator, a Lincoln Navigator, and get me a basketball floor. Come the fuck on, guys. I think wood is $185,000. If we're going to do glass, it better cost $1 million.
You think at any point in this meeting, one of them went, you crazy for this one, Jay? Because I would have. The most appropriate time it could be used.
Yeah, I think what you're missing here is like, what if the goal was to injure some kids' groins but also come in under budget? Okay, let's get to the show.
It's for advertising, right? It's so they can constantly be showing.
Yes, I assume so. There were like graphic packages and stuff, like during timeouts and stuff. So if it had worked, like if it wasn't the dumbest idea ever, the smart part of it might have been good.
Right.
Like a rock and jock basketball thing, the floor explodes when you dribble, some fucking cool shit like that. You dunk that and the lob, the floor turns to lava for like 5 seconds. That'd be fucking awesome.
But if somebody missed a last second shot right after the floor turned to lava, then forever we'd have to hear the stupidest guy who didn't graduate from your college talk about how it was bullshit or whatever and they need to get rid of concussion rules or whatever people are always mad about in sports.
All right. Let's get to the show. Today we're talking about the White House's upcoming plans for July 4th UFC bash, which seem to be going swimmingly. By that I mean terrible. And then we're going to get to the Prairie Land ICE verdict a little bit later. But first, Matt, the Daily Dumbass graphic, please. Today's Daily Dumbass is the White House July 4th porta potty supplier for not asking for the details of what he was signing up for.
You got the White House, you got the South Lawn, and then there's a road, and then the Ellipse is a park that's right there. We're going to be ticketing 85,000 people in the Ellipse for free. And we'll announce how they're, we're going to be giving them away soon. But
all right,
plan on going.
So this is weird. They're like, oh, by the way, there's going to be 85,000 people at the White House during a war. And Trump also said that last week he plans to build a 100,000-seat stadium near the White House to host a UFC fight, but no one started building anything
right
yet.
What do you mean? Dude, they've been working on fucking Cloud Springs Road near my house for 25 goddamn years. I don't think they're building an arena in a day.
They haven't even finished the ballroom.
No.
By the
way, the ballroom is not done. They're going to do a stadium, and they can't do the ballroom. Which, by the way, it's so funny that there's something about the juxtaposition of a dancing ballroom and then a UFC gladiator arena. Mm-hmm. It's just like Trump is just like picking things he wishes he could do and being like, oh, build me that. Like, next it'll be a porn studio or something.
I can't believe that we deported all the Mexicans and now we've got a bunch of projects that won't get finished. That's crazy.
Yeah, or they're in hiding right now.
Yeah,
yeah, amazing how that works. But like, it was amazing to me, like the war thing. It apparently the fact that the White House is a target, a pretty soft target, if you're gonna have 100,000 people there for like a July 4th event in the middle of a war. Apparently, that's only occurred to me and Joe Rogan. If you got this news alert, Matt.
That's because everybody else is keeping their mouth shut. They're like, let it happen.
Here's the website gamblingnews.com. Joe Rogan fears Iran might target the UFC White House event. I think we got to make Joe Rogan the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at this point.
I would accept it over whoever the fuck's in there, honestly. I'm fine with it.
Oh, it's a guy named Dan Kane.
It's a guy,
Air Force general named Dan Kane, who Trump picked just because his nickname is Raisin Kane. I'm not fucking kidding.
Great chicken.
I would say it'd be funny if Iran kills Joe Rogan and we have to act like he's our new Ayatollah. Like, in the streets, rending garments with a force. Like, when Charlie Kirk was killed, I'll be singing along with, like, I am Joe Rogan, I carry the flame.
He has a huge head. Not good for him.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I mean, if he gets shot in it.
Yeah. He's real short, but that thing is fucking, you know, aim small, miss small. You know what I'm saying?
So, and I'm not a UFC guy, but the card seems pretty underwhelming. Like, they were promised like seven like title fights. They have like two. Yeah, it's two. And one of the guys, like, well, Brendan Moreno, like, declined to be a part of it because he's Mexican, right? And then a guy named Sean Strickland refused to go because of the Epstein files.
Yeah, dude. And like, Sean Strickland, man, I mean, honestly, bully to him because, I mean, he's a piece of shit. Don't get me wrong. But like,
but he stands on business.
I was not yet right. I was not aware.
Usually racist business.
Right. But with those dudes, I didn't ever know they had a line in the sand with this dude. And like, hey, you know, for a guy that gets kicked in the head and says a bunch of bad stuff, that hits.
It is funny that he made this announcement about where his moral bright line was on Aiden Ross's live stream. So that's just pretty. Like, Aiden Ross, the fascist who can't read, who like gives Lamborghinis to Donald Trump or whatever, it's like, yeah, they got to go on this guy's broadcast and say I'm moral.
We're the dumbest country in the history of the world.
Yeah, that was the audience that needed to hear it, though.
Speaking of being the dumbest country in the history of the world, I want to read this headline for you. Another UFC news. Cash Patel confirms UFC fighters will train FBI agents this week, calling it a historic opportunity. What does Cash Patel think FBI agents do?
Yeah, arm bars?
He doesn't know.
Right.
I'm not even being funny. He got the job and thinks that by having the job, he knows how to do the job.
It's just so bad. Like, I remember it was a big deal. Like, they were like, Tiger Woods got the way he did because his dad put him through Navy SEAL training to get that focus or whatever. And it's like, that's the way it's supposed to go. Not fucking have a golfer or a UFC fighter go train the CIA or someone who's supposed to otherwise hit.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, what does he think the FBI does? Because if they if you knew what they actually did, like the reciprocal training, like they traded training sessions, it'd be like a UFC fighter. I mean, it's their FBI agent teaching UFC fighter how to do forensic accounting at a desk.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like they don't
kill
their
wife and get away with it.
They're not. You're thinking of cops. I'm thinking of FBI agents. Oh, right. The FBI agents do not consider themselves cops by and large. They're fucking. Okay. I saw a quote from an FBI agent who was like pissed about being redeployed to some dumb bullshit Cash is making him do. He's like, if I wanted to be a cop, I'd be a cop. I joined the FBI to be an FBI agent. Right? They're looking at like FinCEN documents and shit, trying to catch real bad guys. They would not arrest a guy on the street and put him in an armbar. It's a waste of their fucking time and training. Right. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, I'm trying to think of a world in which this makes the world a better place. Like I guess we'd have been better off if the FBI agents in Waco had just given those Branch Davidian kids cauliflower ear or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one of the fighters doing this FBI training is Renzo Gracie. You guys familiar with the Gracies?
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, yeah. That's what Joe Rogan was. He's a student of.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know, the Gracie family basically the patriarch was Helio Gracie. He was a Brazilian guy who had basically invented Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And if you wonder what the Gracie family's politics are, Helio was a member of the Brazilian Integralism movement, which first appeared in Brazil in 1932. Mm. Do you want to guess what kind of party a combat sports guy would be in the 1930s?
Well, I'm just going to say most parties that sprung up around that time were pretty rough to begin with. So I'm going to say fascist.
Yeah. It's like, it's funny because like if there was like a Brazil, you know how the old thing with like every country's fascism comes to every country in a different flavor, right? Because it's based upon your culture. So they were fascist, but not racist, but still hated the Jews.
Right.
Doesn't that work? So yeah. You could be a black Brazilian, you're welcome in the integralism movement, but not if you're Jewish. Anyway, Renzo himself, I don't know much about his politics, but he is a Jair Bolsonaro guy. And also, by the way, we're here. Prayers up for Bolsonaro, who's back in the hospital for the 400 millionth time in the last 3 years.
Who?
The former president who's in jail of Brazil.
Oh, the insane guy.
Austin Powers hair?
Yeah. He looks like a vampire with Austin Powers hair. That guy. He's the one that picked up the...
He's got a touch of the tismet. I tell you that right now.
Isn't he the one that picked up the little person thinking it was a kid and kissed it on the head? Mike Tyson also did that. There's the huge, huge, what are them things? Circular, you know, Venn diagram of things Mike Tyson and things world leaders do now. And it's bad.
Yeah, right. That overlap is a bit too much for my taste as well. Bolsonaro, I'm trying to figure out my favorite Bolsonaro moments. It's like his, like when he first ran for president, his campaign hand gesture was just air guns pretending to shoot his opponents.
That's right, baby. America. Pew, 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 pew. We're getting out. Brazil, we're getting out there.
Brazil's wild because like the cops are, obviously cops are drug dealers all over the place, but I mean like the cops have organized drug gangs there that everyone knows are just like controlling their territory. And like, Bolsonaro had one of them kill the mayoral candidate who was an opponent. Like his son was connected to it somehow. Anyway, all of our politics is turning this direction. Is my point.
Well, they also isn't it Brazil that has the tiny little town that's like a Confederate, that was a Confederate hideaway that still people go to? And it's just a little town that's all Confederate flags and stuff where they're just like all about the old South.
There's a whole movement, after the Civil War, a bunch of American Confederates fled to Brazil and Cuba, I believe, to keep doing slavery. And I remember there was a famous campaign photo. Jimmy Carter campaigned to Brazil in the 70s for whatever reason, did fundraisers, and there's people waving Confederate flags in the background while Jimmy Carter's in Brazil. So I do want to mention this while we're on UFC stuff. So Bellingcat had a report. They have a UFC fighter named Munir the Sniper Lazez. Are you familiar with them, Corey?
Actually, no. I'm certain I've heard Robbie talk about him, but I think I would remember the Sniper.
So he posted photos of himself in Dubai a couple weeks ago with a couple by the name of Christy and Daniel Kinahan, who are basically Irish drug cartel leaders on the run from the law. All in Dubai, of course. And I gotta say, one thing I've come into is like, we need to fucking nuke Dubai of all the places we're not bombing.
I can't believe it's not getting caught by somebody. Like, surely someone over, like the Houthis seem like they'd hate Dubai. Can someone just launch one over there? I think we would solve a lot of the West and the East problems if we did it at the right time.
Dude, Dubai is like basically Casablanca for pedophiles with gold cars who take testosterone. It's like, it's such a fucking crazy society building over there. They all have slaves. There's like you're talking about how they did, someone want to bomb them. All the basic dynamic of all these Gulf states is like the people hate them. The actual religious people hate them because everyone knows these royal families are fucking whoring around and drinking and doing drugs and are greedy psychopaths. They're not Muslim in any meaningful sense of the word. So everybody wants to kill them. And anyway, the reason I brought up Lazaz is because like Bellingcat started digging into his stuff after he posted those photos. And it turns out he has business interests extending far beyond combat sports. They found documents linking him to a multi-million dollar shipping deal orchestrated by companies in a secret jurisdiction for crude oil tankers that were later sanctioned by the American government for helping Iran smuggle oil out. So Trump is hosting a UFC event.
Okay. All right.
We're basically on Iran's side fighting ourselves at this point. And right. You got UFC fighters who are basically the link between the Irish mob and the Iranian Republican, Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps in some sort of like criminal smuggling and financial fraud ring that's connected by a Tunisian guy with CTE. And they're all hanging out together in Dubai. We're bombing a country that's not fucking Dubai. Anyway, and I don't understand it.
Just like in the prequels, we find out that the Clone Wars that Palpatine had set up against himself was literally just, them fighting each other so that they could distract you for what really needed to be done over here, which was him obviously taking control of the Senate, becoming a dictator, and then having his, sort of son-like figure rise to power and make him so angry that, he kills his wife. So that he will be angry and resentful and be that. Yeah, it's America. It's prequels.
Yeah. Well, to put it in, our parlance of our movie that we're watching play out before us like a fucking nightmare, I heard someone say it this way. The war's not a distraction as far as the Epstein files. The war is the goddamn Epstein.
Right.
File.
It's a result.
The Epstein class, whether it's someone in the files or someone who didn't fuck with him because they hated him because he was fucking up what they were trying to do, there is genuinely a class of people, who are they're not like meeting in a fucking cave with black hoods. I mean, they are because they like to fuck kids and they're weird, but that's not the issue. The issue is that there's a class of people. They're in Dubai right now. Sometimes they're in other places. They're just getting together and they're making business deals and also policy deals. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy that we're sitting here. Mm-hmm. Every day I feel more insane when I try to talk to people about it because the world catches up to how crazy I feel. And then more shit comes out. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting here and we're talking about this. We are bombing kids in a country. We're bombing school children in a country on behalf of a country that's been bombing school children, while we are a country that's been apparently fucking school children. And it's all wrapped up, currently still, as best I can tell, as a moral argument.
Right.
I miss Cheney. I miss Let's Go Get Oil. I miss... We are going to take their stuff. I mean, Hegseth is the only one who seems a little... He's saying he's doing it for God. I mean, at least I can wrap my head around that. Like, oh, the same God who fucked Mary when she was 14 years old? At least I can process what you're saying is happening. It's not even theater at this point. It's content. I don't know if I'm making sense. I feel like my rant is disjointed because that's sort of my point. It's all so disjointed. There's not even a thread through the lies that they're telling us. I don't even know what I'm being sold anymore.
No, that's what I was about to say. It's like you and I are getting two different wars because I'm getting that we're taking the royal propaganda. That we're not doing it for any moral reason. I know there's like a 15-minute period the first day of the war where Trump's like, we're going to free the Iranian people. Then he immediately fucking backed off that.
Well, Fox is still selling that for the record.
Yeah, and I see, the neighborhood I live in, I see people driving around flying Iranian flags who are presumably Iranian immigrants who are for the war because they do think it's somehow going to lead to freedom. But, it seems like everyone's already given up on that. The quotes I've seen from people inside Iran who were hopeful the first couple of days have already been like, we just want the bombing to stop. The old way was better. I mean, I can't speak for Iranian people. I know. Anyway, I saw a guy, the biggest Iranian flag I've ever seen in my life, being flown on the side of a Cybertruck. And I was like, I bet you're super cool to talk to you right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to, we got to move on to our next topic. We're going to be talking about the Prairie Land ICE verdict. When we get back, we got to take a quick break.
Weekly Skews is brought to you by ZBiotics. Let's face it, y'all, after a night of drinking, you don't bounce back the next day like you used to. You're not 21 anymore. At least I'm not. I can tell you that much. And I know most of y'all ain't either. Let's not lie to ourselves here. And it gets harder every day to bounce back. It really does. I don't know if you noticed, but March can be a lot. You know, you got your bracket watch parties, St. Paddy's Day. And I can't just have a big night anymore and then wake up the next morning and just be all right. It's not even shades of all right, really. It's just not how it works for me. So I feel like I have to make a choice. Have a good night or have a good next day. You got to pick one. That's just how it works, right? Well, not anymore. Okay. Not since I found ZBiotics pre-alcohol. It's the world's first genetically engineered probiotic made by PhD scientists. Here's how the science works. See, whenever you drink, your body converts alcohol into a toxic byproduct in your gut. And the buildup of that byproduct, not dehydration in and of itself, is what makes your next days so tough. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme that breaks that byproduct down. You take it before you drink your first drink of the night. You drink responsibly, as always, of course. And you wake up feeling like an actual human being who has options the next day. So go to ZBiotics.com/skew. That's ZBiotics. ZBiotics.com/skew. Skew. ZBiotics.com/skew and use the promo code SKEW at checkout for 15% off your first order. 100% money back guarantee if you're not satisfied for whatever reason. So there's no risk here. Go to ZBiotics.com/skew. Use the promo code SKEW for 15% off.
And we're back. All right. So, Drew, were you following the Prairie Land ice trial?
I didn't follow it as it went along. I have read about it since I heard the very, very frankly shocking and disappointing verdict. I don't know enough about the trial. I've only read a couple of things about it to know this for sure. But my gut instinct is that these defense lawyers fucking blew this.
Well, I'm not sure. The judge precluded them from arguing self-defense. Like, they couldn't even introduce it. And also, like, let me tell you how much the fix was in right here. It's a Trump-appointed judge, obviously. Federal judge. The judge called a mistrial during jury selection because too many people didn't like ICE.
Right. Well, pack a lunch.
Right, so like out of the ninety person jury pool, basically 23 of them, I think, were like fuck ICE. So he just started over and said we can only have jurors who love ICE.
Yeah, because right. That's so somehow good and not the same thing as having a all fuck them.
Right.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. If we're gonna do a jury of your peers and they are an Antifa, I mean, we're gonna have to get some purple hairs in here, a couple bisexual chicks with nose rings. I know a few.
We also need people like it's okay to tell a little white lie during jury selection to get on the, like, it's like, you don't have to volunteer all your political opinions.
I think I said it on here once before. I know I've been saying it on my podcast. Do jury duty.
Yeah. We talked about it.
You want to know what you can do? Oh yeah. I told you to do it, Corey.
Yeah. Right. And you genuinely made me regret I was like, oh man, he's so right. Cause I did. To get out of jury duty, I just went up to the judge.
Lie to get into jury duty is what I'm saying. Right.
So if you guys don't know, like we're talking about, so because of an event that happened last July 4th, which we'll get into the details of in a few minutes, 8 defendants were found guilty Friday of providing material support to terrorists for the, quote, Antifa attack on the Prairie Land ICE Detention Center. This ICE Detention Center is in Alpharetta, Texas, which is like south of Fort Worth on I-35W. The one guy who shot a cop, who you can expect to go to jail for that, he faces a minimum of 20 years and maximum of life in federal prison. The other people who were just there, most of them faced between 10 and 60 years for material support for terrorism for being in the vicinity of a guy who shot a cop. And another guy faced up to 40 years who wasn't there because he was convicted of conspiracy to conceal evidence because he moved a box of zines.
Like the dip?
No, that's zines, like magazine, homemade magazines.
Oh, magazines, yeah, the old magazine. Yeah. Okay, yeah, right on. Yeah. I just didn't know anybody still had zines.
Me neither. I didn't know people were still making them, but apparently people are still making them. You can go to prison for 40 fucking years for moving a box of them. The fact that they all wore black clothes was admitted as evidence that they were part of the same criminal conspiracy. So if you have a black t-shirt, you were also involved in this. Prosecutors used a 7-year-old column. There was an analysis of feminism's relationship to horror cinema as, quote, evidence of ideologically driven intent. So somebody spent the most boring 15 minutes of their life reading an article about feminism relationship to horror cinema, and is going to go to prison for it. One of the guys they arrested in connection with this, who hasn't gone on trial yet, wasn't there. They raided his house with flashbangs because he helped someone out who asked to be removed. No, wait, that's, I'm even phrasing that wrong. He removed a guy from a group chat after a guy confessed that he'd been at this at Prairie Land. He removed the guy from his group chat, this organization called the Socialist Riflemen's Association. He removed them from the group chat because they committed a crime and he did not want to be associated with them. So the evidence of his criminal association with them was that he did not want to be associated with them because they were criminals. You follow me?
Well, I still can't get past the fact that, like, if it's a crime for a group of people to all wear black shirts, how are the streets safe for Italians in New Jersey? You know what I mean? Like, what's going to happen there? It looks like ISIS all the time.
Bro, if you're wearing an Adidas tracksuit in New Jersey, you're basically you're legally in the mob by this logic. Yeah.
No, Wonder. This is really, really dark. I wonder what the legal groundwork is for precluding self-defense. You have a right to claim mm-hmm. self-defense. So to throw that right out the window is kind of wild. I mean, not that I have a lot of faith in our Supreme Court at the moment or our appeals courts, but I mean, this is why the courts matter. It's something that lame liberals have said forever in terms of, if nothing else, we got to vote blue to keep the courts the way we want mm-hmm. them. But, like, it is true. It's not very glamorous to talk about how this works. It's always later. It's always years later. Mm-hmm. The courts are fucked. But I keep talking to people who are like, man, if things don't change, Trump's going to – he is. Like, it is happening. We are right in the history book. This is answer C on the fucking history test in 2025 – I'm sorry, 2075. Like, this is so dark. I hadn't followed it much. I just read, like, a couple write-ups about it after it happened, and it seemed like the defense – it seemed like didn't do a good enough job of pointing out how to convict someone of – conspiracy here. It takes more than they hung out together, but it sounds like this judge rigged it.
Mm-hmm. So the judge, his name is
so
Mark.
Dark.
Let me describe him to you. His name is Judge Mark Pittman, and like I can't tell like what part of this is like, because you and I follow this stuff closely. Like this is a lot of this is fairly normal, you know. Like anybody's followed someone who like cut the hydraulic lines on a piece of construction equipment on an oil pipeline has been going to jail for terrorism for fucking 30 years, right? So like that's like basically what they've done is they've moved anti-ICE protests in the same bucket that anti-oil pipeline protests go into. So the U.S.
except one guy pulled the trick, like that, you know what I mean? Like it seems like the difference here is now it's just like I hung out with a guy who committed a crime. Well, fuck, dude. Screwed.
The judge's name is Mark Pittman. Okay, he's a Federal Society judge. If you're wondering what his background is, he's the guy.
The Federal Society is the most evil institution in modern America, and it is responsible for so much of what we see today. But go ahead.
Right, he's a judge who initially struck down the Biden administration's student loan debt forgiveness program nationwide. While the trial was going on, he held an unreported private meeting last week with former Attorney General Bill Barr, who, you know, was Trump's first attorney general in his first administration. He said Barr has railed against, quote, far left extremist groups and anarchic groups using Antifa-like tactics back in 2020. Speaking to the media hours after the meeting, Barr said he knew nothing about the Antifa case and claimed he was merely, quote, getting a tour of the courtroom. Bill Barr, if you need your memory refreshed, besides
Garfield.
The fact that he worked for Trump. Huh?
Wasn't he the one that kind of looked like Garfield the cat?
Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Right on.
He's also the guy whose dad was the head of the private school that hired Jeffrey Epstein to be a teacher when he was completely unqualified.
Mr. Barr?
Mm-hmm. Mm. So.
That slated you?
You're making me lose my place.
That throwaway joke slated you? You'd be a professional here. You're smart, Mark.
The guy who was arrested for merely removing the other guy from the group trap, the guy who wasn't even there, he's been arrested three times in connection with this dumb bullshit so far. He's like an elementary school teacher in Dallas ISD. let me quote here. It's weird to have this whole Antifa thing that was a joke like 8 years ago. People are cracking jokes about how people think there's this group funded by George Soros. And now the FBI director's running around being like, we got them. We found Antifa and it's a bunch of protesters. Like I talked about the guy who was arrested for moving the box of zines. The guy's going to prison for 40 years. For 40 years. He was arrested when moving the box was spotted by an FBI surveillance team, according to the government. They had an FBI surveillance team following this guy whose wife was at a protest so they could catch him moving a box of zines that had feminist critiques of horror movies in them.
If 12 what? Citizens are willing to put someone in prison for 40 years for that,
Well, we've lost. The juries all over the country have been nullifying a lot of this shit. I'm not sure they just like basically worked really hard over the course of 6 months for a bullshit trial to find a jury that would convict. You also have the problem that juries don't get to do sentencing. They don't get to consider whether the sentence is too harsh when they do this. Go through what actually happened here, what they actually did, what they actually were, you know, quote unquote.
They don't do sentencing. They're aware of it though.
Right. But I'm saying, like, you're explicitly instructed. You've been in courtrooms. You know, they're instructed, like, you can't take your fear, your concerns with the harshness of the sentence. You need to vote whether you think they did it or not. He moved the box.
I've also read the post jury deliberation notes and surveys. Mm-hmm. They talk about all of that. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be like a Debbie Downer, but like, it's really like, often what happens in a trial like this is they split the baby. They throw the book at the shooter. They decide like two of the people helped him. And then the guy who moved magazines gets a not guilty. Mm-hmm. It's.
All right. So I want to walk through. I want to walk through what actually happened. Okay, so this group of people, I think it was eight to 10 people, were setting off fireworks outside of an immigration jail on July 4th. The reason they chose July 4th is the idea was they were celebrating July 4th with the people in the facility who they were signaling to them, we see you as Americans and we're celebrating America with you. All right. They were shouting to a bullhorn. They spray painted fuck you pigs on a guard shack and slashed the tires of a transportation van. So the people that worked at the immigration jail called the cops. Local cops show up and a cop drew his gun because the protesters. This is where the silliness of our society, all parts of it come into question. They were open carrying. Some of them AR-15s. All right. So the cop drew his gun, but they had guns out. See what I'm saying? So it's not really. Where do you draw the line for who fucking started with having their guns out first?
Right.
The cop. The evidence seems to point to the fact that the guy who shot first was one of the protesters because the cop was pointing his gun at people who were running away with their backs turned. So the guy who shot the cop, his name is Benjamin Song. He's a former Marine. And the officer followed blindly three times into the dark and hit nothing. Thank God, because he was just shooting at people running away in the dark. The cop's fine. He got to the hospital. So they arrested most of the people there, charged them with, it was ramped up charges like they always do in the first draft of this shit. They charged them with attempted murder of a cop, basically all 10 of them. But that, so far we're doing routine cop shit, local charges, wheels of justice turning normally. That was July. Charlie Kirk was killed in September. All right. So then Trump classified Antifa as a domestic terror organization. This led to a presidential memorandum we've talked about on the show before called NSPM-7, which activated basically our security panopticon, COINTELPRO 2 shit they're doing now, and ordered the attorney general to crack down on, quote, civil disorder as domestic terrorism. So then by December, 9 of the protesters were hit with federal terrorism charges along with rioting, using explosives, and attempted murder of federal officers. So they went being charged with one cop they shot at. Then the protests became a riot, the fireworks became explosives, and the group then became an Antifa cell through the power of Trump's pen. You follow me here?
Mm-hmm. I am following you, but again, if 12 American citizens will allow that, we are in such a dark place, or these defense attorneys completely fucked up. And I'm not saying just because they got a guilty. It sounds like they got mostly guilties across the board and some of the gnarliest charges. I mean, for the dude to get 40 years for moving a box, it's unconscionable. Mm-hmm. It's unconscionable. And I keep saying this to people. I've said it on here before. We are so far beyond where people want to act like we are. We're in the shit. And I've also been saying this to people. You need to be committing crime, if nothing else, for your own mental health. They're going to charge you with some bullshit anyway. You're going to, like, bring a sandwich to a neighbor who happens to be brown, and they're going to be like, you're a terrorist. If that's going to happen anyway, then steal someone rich's identity. Why not rob a Target on a first date this week?
I want to quote here. So the judge, during the cross-examination of a government witness about the zines being evidence of criminal intent, right? The judge, Pittman, he's asked the witness, so just because I own a copy of Mein Kampf, does that mean I'm a Nazi? Jesus. Now, at the time, I thought he was making a rhetorical point about, of course it doesn't mean you're a Nazi just because you own a copy of Mein Kampf, depending on how you fucking... What position of honor does it right. have on your bookshelf, right?
Right.
But yeah. Now I think he's actually now I think he meant it literally. Yeah, yeah. Now I think he meant it literally. He's like, wait, does that mean I'm a Nazi because I have a copy of Mein Kampf?
Like he's having a moment there. Oh, wait, hold on.
I guess I am a Nazi.
Yeah. But I'll also ask this. The zine guy, his name, Daniel Estrada Sanchez, I believe is his name. Yeah, Daniel Estrada. So he was the layers of government fuck up here. Last Thanksgiving, they just let him loose. He didn't expect it, and no one knew why. They just freed him from jail, from pretrial detention. So he just went home for a couple days, thought it was a mistake, and it was. They called back and asked him to turn himself in, which he did, because he's like, I want my day in court. I didn't do anything wrong. I just want to say here, all the fucked up shit about a criminal justice system, if a guy will voluntarily turn himself in right. multiple times, why is he being held pretrial?
Right.
It's almost like the prison industrial complex is a business that relies upon
people being in custody. All right, because I have I forgot to say the theme of today's show, because I want to talk about legal stuff, because I have you two on, and Drew, you're a lawyer, and Corey, you're a criminal. So that's I right. thought it'd be fun. So before we get out of here, I want to have some fun doing one more dumbass. Our second dumbass honorable mention today is police academies for not having training courses for how to emotionally deal with losing rap battles. Matt, video please.
Vandalize my property, my money came up short. They disconnect my cameras because they are a poor sport. They're the predators and the victims, and they're suing me in court. My proof's on the internet.
All right, so yeah.
I need a moment.
Okay, you take your moment. I'll let Mark explain it, obviously, because everyone needs to know what's going on. I did know about this. But are you saying it's led to training? Sorry, go ahead.
All right. So after like a legal battle of all sides for going on for years now, Afro Man is about to head to court where he's being sued by local sheriff's deputies who say his rap videos and related publicity subjected them to ridicule, mental distress, and danger, including anonymous death threats. They also say he lied on them by showing video of them in his house. The next video, hey, I will say he did go hard. If you got to get the next video clip, Matt, that's queued up to start at 2:36. You were just playing it, yeah.
By the way, it wasn't that to the tune of a very racist song.
Very racist. That was the marching, the Confederate marching song.
That's what I thought. Sorry, go ahead.
Ryan Newland is a flag. William is a pedophile. If I'm telling folks the truth, how come I have to go to trial? Newland sexting kids, that's true. Now he's stealing my money too. My proof's on the internet.
That's the tune of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, which is
It's also Georgia's fight song.
It's a Union marching song, which was Christ died to man. Died to something men would let us die to make men free. It was the opposite of it was probably racist by our modern terms, but it was about freeing slaves. So it was like,
yeah, I think yes, but I think what happened is white supremacist groups made versions of it that I unfortunately was exposed to as a younger man. And so it's like one of those, everyone was doing a bit and now we're back at square.
Yeah. Anyway. So that was the fourth song in his roast series, of these local sheriff's department, Adams County, Ohio. That one was called the Battle Ram Hymn of the Police Whistleblower. I just want to point out here that suing a rapper for hurting your feelings, like, first of all, they're accusing him of exaggerating a rap song, which call the fucking cops. suing somebody for hurting your feelings in a diss track is what fucking Drake did. That's what I pointed out about how corny this shit is. The song that really made the musical Lemon Pound Cake, which is just about the cops in his house when they shouldn't have been, salivating over his mom's lemon pound cake. And he was salivating over his cake. You've got this image of this cop here, Matt. That's a cop staring at his mom's pound cake. So this beef goes all the way back to like 2021, I think. There was a previous burglary at Afro Man's house where he kept calling the cops to see what they were doing about it, and they threatened to arrest him if they kept bugging them to see if they were solving the crime. Because, you know, cops don't do that, and how dare you call them up and ask if they're going to solve a crime. So then in August of 2022, the sheriff's department searched his house. They said because of an anonymous tip, they searched his house of suspicion of kidnapping and drug trafficking. So because he was ignoring them for not solving his burglary case, they searched his house with a fake tip about fucking kidnapping and drug trafficking. They found some like personal use marijuana, I guess was legal in Ohio. So he asked them, basically, they broke a bunch of his shit when they searched his house. He says they caused $20,000 worth of damage. And they took $4,500 or something in cash from his house. So he's like, give me back my money and pay for the damage you caused. According to him, they gave back $400 less than what they took and laughed at him when they asked him to pay for the damage. So that's how he arrived at the point where he's making this this fucking rap video roasting the cops, because he said he wanted to make, he's like, I put out these videos to make back the money they stole from me and repair the damage. One of the songs is called Fix My Gate. So Afro Man is calling cops pedophiles because they won't fix his gate.
It's so good. It's so good because... Dude. It's exactly what I want him to be doing right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Infamously, my favorite lyricist of all time, Andre 3000, said in an interview, why the fuck would I rap? What would I talk about? I'm 50 years old. What would I rap about? Getting my prostate checked? And it's like, nah, dude, somebody fixing your gate. Exactly. This is what Afro Man should be on about now. Yes. He should be on about someone fixing his damn gate.
Also, Afro Man being relevant again, add it to the list. Iran War. Creed, yep. Britney Spears just got a DUI. We're back in the 2000s, baby.
Cocaine's back. Ginkgos are back. Zubas are back.
I saw a kid sagging his pants earlier.
Yeah, I didn't know he did. He probably just can't afford a belt in this goddamn economy.
I tried on an earlier podcast. I can't do it. I can't get my camera to the window. But I'm having a blizzard here in Tennessee in March. We're straight back to 93 with that one, dog.
That's right, boy.
Oh, yeah. I remember that blizzard. We were out of school 18 days with that one.
Fentanyl, what is fentanyl if not heroin that didn't kill our heroes?
That's right.
Yeah, if Lou Reed had access to fentanyl, he would still be alive making the worst like ditties for car commercials you ever heard in your life.
You ever seen Lou Reed fentanyl?
The Lou Reed fentanyl, dude, that's a shirt somehow and a dance we got to make up.
I mean, isn't that Lou Reed fentanyl?
Man, he's hitting that Lou Reed fentanyl. Charlie Brown.
So,
take a walk on the wild side.
Well, we talked about the prayer of that case, about the fix being in. The judge in this case already dismissed fucking Afro Man's countersuit. For like, he tried to like try to sue them for the frivolous lawsuit or whatever. Like, no, you can't do that. So basically, it was kind of funny. If you noticed in his video, he had access to like the deposition footage where the lady cop was crying at the deposition. He's making fun of her for it. I don't know. Like, if you're really this sensitive, or a rapper who had like, I'm not going to diminish Afro Man's career. He did win a Grammy, but basically that one song that was a hit, I want because I got high, right? That was using a lot of movie soundtracks.
Yeah, he did. He sure did.
It was where he was going about all the women he fucked in different states. And it was, I met this chick from Tennessee. Her tits were filled with Tennessee. I met one from Hawaii. I stuck it in her butt, and she said, I.
All right. Well, I'm glad this is very
He also ends
update.
Up fucking the daughter of the head guy from the KKK.
He did do that.
Yep. So
he's always been mad about. He fucked that sheriff's daughter, dude.
So he's always been a political agitator is what you're saying. So this like brought to mind like another case in Ohio, where a cop in Cincinnati after the George Floyd protests tried to sue protesters for making fun of him on Twitter. They were basically calling him a fat pig fascist, and he tried to sue them for like hurting his feelings. And like, we're like, I've realized now that the people who run this country think the First Amendment was a mistake. They just like, they really don't want anyone but them to have it.
Right.
But I want to point out here that like, this is Afro Man basically going back to his roots, because his origin story was in high school. He would make mixtapes and sell them at school. And quote here, let me quote here. The first tape I made was about my eighth grade teacher. She got me kicked out of school for sagging my pants, which was a big deal back then. So I wrote this song about her, making fun of her, and sold about 400 copies around school.
My man.
So he's just, so teacher kicked him out of class for sagging pants. He made money off of it to compensate himself by making music about it. 30 years later, whatever, cops break into his house, break his fucking gate, and he makes songs to make the money back, and then marches around about the lawsuit, an American flag fucking suit. And in summation, like, all this legal stuff we're talking about, he's an artist. And in summation, what I'm saying is the defense would like to call Afro Man, if you got this last video about
freedom of speech. I should be allowed to sing about my life, and police officers that violate my home, steal my money, should not be allowed to sue me.
How is that not an airtight fucking argument? Like, you said, like, you should, like talking about, like, the outcast thing, was it Andre 3000 or Big Boy? Which one was saying that quote? I remember the quote.
Andre, right? Big Boy's still rapping.
But it's like, he doesn't rap about his life. He's literally rapping about his life. The cops fucking broke into his house to get petty revenge and broke his gates. That's what he's fucking rapping about. Mm-hmm. And, like, I meant to say, the other songs he recorded were called Will You Help Me Repair My Door? I got the title wrong. I said Fix My Gates. Will You Help Me Repair My Door? Lemon Pound Cake, which is set to the tune to Under the Boardwalk by the Drifters, which is just about that cop doing the triple take of his mom's lemon pound cake. And Why Are You Disconnecting My Video Camera? And he just uses the B-roll. Like, they're accusing of him of insulting them. And you play that in the video now. It's B-roll of his own fucking camera footage. They're suing him for using their likenesses because they were in his goddamn house.
Unbelievable.
You can't use my likeness for profit, bro. Don't come in my fucking house. What, how hard is this? We're getting Third Amendment cases, multiple of them, under the fucking Donald Trump administration.
Speaking of him being an artist and the First Amendment, I just remembered the funniest lyric in that song when he was banging the head of the KKK's daughter. He said, "We fucked to the left, we fucked to the right. She sucked my dick till that shit turned white," which is hilarious.
Well, after all that, I'll be like, Afro Man deserves that last word today. So thank you guys for joining me. I appreciate it, Corey. Appreciate it, Drew. Thank you guys.
Yeah, buddy.
Thank you.
You guys have anything you want to plug real quick?
Oh, CoreyWritesForYou.com. Go read it. Subscribe to it. That would hit.
Drew?
I'll be in New Orleans this weekend at the Toledo Comedy Festival. I'll be there Saturday and Sunday. The week after that, I will be in Denver, Colorado. Listen to Gravy Baby, me and DJ and Carmen Morales' podcast. We have had on labor organizers and a union leader the last two or three weeks. We've been hitting a lot of labor points. I think it is the future of American politics. And I think it's we've been having some fun with them. You know, we've been having them talk to us about the TSA strike and then talk to us about whether or not they can see our buttholes in that TSA machine. You know, we keep it light.
Nice. Oh, also, I forgot. I'll be at the Punchline in Atlanta March 29th. I'm so stupid. Please come see me, Atlanta.
He is so stupid. Please go see him. Go see them both. All right. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Skew.
Thank you. Ew.